Showing your reverence for the gospel, please stand. Our gospel text today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. We begin with verse 17. In the Worship Bible, you'll find this on page 1031. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow that speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." This is God's word. You may be seated. May the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you heard the word love burst? It has a number of definitions: spontaneous affection, a tender moment of radiant love, ignited devotion, an explosion of tenderness. Let me illustrate. Quite a while back, when our ladies' Bible study met down at the school in the conference room, and it was right across the hall from where my office was, and my wife was teaching the Bible class, I was listening intently as she described somebody in the most complimentary of terms. Somebody who was helpful and kind, loving, dot, dot, dot. Well, I was intrigued, and so I went out of my office and stood closer to the door and listened. And it wasn't long before I realized that she was talking about me. A love burst. Let me give you another illustration. He comes home from work cranky because they've moved a deadline up. She comes home from work grumpy because the childcare hasn't given their 5-year-old her throat medicine. Both of them come home looking for a little sympathy from the other, and neither gets any. So they sit down for dinner, and their little 5-year-old Emily folds her hands as she's been taught. Mom and Dad bow their heads, but not their hearts, and they listen as she prays. "Hello, God. How you doing?" "It's Emily. I'm doing fine, thanks. God, Mom and Dad are mad at each other. I don't know why, but could you make them stop? Otherwise, it's just going to be you and me having fun tonight." Amen. Her prayer is answered before it's ever finished. Mom and Dad, by the middle of the prayer, are looking at each other, and by the end of the prayer, they're laughing. They nod at each other and say they're sorry. They both learn from their 5-year-old daughter's prayer about what really matters. That's a love burst. It reminds us of what really matters. In our gospel text today, we experience a love burst from Jesus. We're given a divine reminder that what we have is a whole lot better than what we want, and that what is urgent is often not what's really important. My friends, Jesus truly is the friend of all. He heals our deepest wound. What we hope for is temporal healing. What we are blessed with is spiritual healing. And let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Our hearts in true devotion bow. Your Spirit send with grace divine, and let your truth within us shine. Amen. Luke informs us this morning that Jesus encountered a man who was paralyzed, a man who couldn't walk, a man who couldn't stand. His limbs were bent and his body was broken. Perhaps he had been palsied. What I mean by that is he was this way since he was born. Maybe he was fine when he was born, but as he grew older, he was paralyzed in an accident or a fall. It really makes no difference. The end result was the same. He was totally dependent on others. Someone had to wash his face and bathe his body. He couldn't reach up to comb his hair or tie or untie his sandals. When he ran, it was only in his dreams, and every time he'd wake up, it would be to the same old broken body that couldn't roll over or readjust or rise to reveille. Now, you and I, if we're in our right minds, find ourselves saying something like, what this man really needs is a new body, right? What this man needs is a God who will restore to him what tragedy has robbed from him. He needs arms that swing and hands that grasp. He needs feet that dance. What the people of his day saw wasn't really a man with a name, but a body. A body that needed a miracle, a big miracle. That's certainly what his buddies saw. And they did what any good friend would do. They decided to get him some help. Word was out that Jesus, the miracle worker, was in town. Last week we heard from Pastor Strobel that right before this, Jesus had miraculously healed a man who was covered with leprosy. And as word got out, the people came running. Luke tells us that they came from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. We today might say they came from Muskego and Big Bend and New Berlin and Wind Lake. Everyone, so it seems, came to see if this Jesus was real or right or both. Luke tells us that by the time this man's friends got him to Jesus, the house where Jesus was full, and they couldn't get in because of the crowd. How would this small band of men gain an audience with Jesus? How could they get this man, this paralyzed man, to Jesus, the miracle worker? It was decision time. They had to make a choice. Do they go in or do they give up? When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, our text reads, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Pulling back a portion of the loosely constructed flat roof, they positioned their friend directly in front of Jesus. This was risky business. They could fall. This was dangerous business. He could fall. This was unorthodox business. You just don't de-roof somebody's house. And this was intrusive business. Jesus was busy preaching. But this was their only chance to get their friend to Jesus. So they ignored what was risky and dangerous. They ignored what was unorthodox and intrusive, and they did what they had to do. Faith does that, doesn't it? Faith does the unexpected. Faith does what's risky and dangerous, what's unorthodox and intrusive. And you know what? Faith gets Jesus' attention. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Jesus says to the psalmist, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. How many times as we read through the Gospels don't we come across this phrase that Jesus was utterly amazed and full of joy at the faith of someone? Today Luke says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Think of it. These men had enough faith and hope in Jesus and enough love for their friend that they were willing to take a chance. They were willing to risk embarrassment, even injury, for a few precious moments with the friend of sinners, Jesus. And Jesus was moved, as I was when I heard Sue's words, as the parents were when they heard their 5-year-old praying. And Jesus applauds, maybe not with his hands, but certainly with his heart. And he doesn't only applaud, he blesses. And you and I, some 2,000 years later, get to witness a divine love burst. This man's buddies have brought him to Jesus to be healed, but Jesus won't settle for a simple temporal or physical healing. Jesus wants to heal this man's soul. And so he leapfrogs over the temporal, the physical, and lands on the spiritual. And that really shouldn't surprise us because that so often happens in Jesus' ministry. When Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer, he powerfully taught them that our spiritual priorities are to be our priorities. Of the 7 petitions or requests we make in the Lord's Prayer, 6 of them are for spiritual blessings. Only 1, give us each day our daily bread, is a temporal or physical blessing. When Jesus hung on the cross and uttered his 7 last words, 6 of the 7 were spiritual. Only 1, I am thirsty, was physical. And even that was in fulfillment of prophecy. While our body's health is important, this body is only temporal. Our soul is immortal. Which leads Jesus to ask, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for this soul? This man's friends want Jesus to heal their friend in his body. But Jesus sets the bar higher and heals the man's soul. They expect Jesus to say, I heal you. But Jesus says, I forgive you. Sometimes Jesus is so touched by what he sees that he gives us what we need and not simply what we ask for. And that's a good thing, too. For who of us would ever have thought to ask God for what he freely gives us by grace? Who of us would have dared to say to God, God, you go hang yourself on the cross and then go to hell to pay for my sins. And then once you've forgiven my sins, then prepare a beautiful home in heaven for me where I will live forever in glory and joy. And if that weren't enough, and God, then live with me every day of my life and provide for me and protect me and guide me and direct me and bless me in ways that I can't even imagine or deserve. we tend to ask God for things that are relatively small, relatively little, a good job, health, healing, a long life. Grandiose requests from our perspective, from God's point of view, it's sort of like asking for the moped when he's already given us the Mercedes. Jesus gives this paralyzed man what he needs most, and he heals his deepest wounds. He heals the man of his sins. Friend, your sins are forgiven, he says. The Pharisees and teachers of the law, who are always Johnny on the spot, start to grumble. That's not kosher. Even a rookie Jew knows who can forgive sins but God alone. Kind of hidden away in our text is the fact that Jesus is reading their minds. Another proof that Jesus is God. And he says to them, which is easier to say? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up? Since it's Jesus who's asking the question, you answer it. Which is easier, to forgive a soul or to heal a body? Or to put the question another way, which caused Jesus less pain? To give this man his health or to gain heaven for this man? You see, to heal this man's body simply took a command. To forgive this man's soul required Jesus' blood. To heal this man's body took place in a house filled with friends. To heal this man's soul took place on a lonely hillside accompanied by thieves. One took a word, the other took a body. One took a moment, the other took a life. 33 years of active and passive obedience. At every step of the way, obeying the Heavenly Father's will perfectly in our place, and then taking our sin and our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our misguided priorities, our messed up lives, our shame and our guilt, all of it to the cross and suffering and dying for it there. Not with gold or silver, Martin Luther says, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. So let me ask it again. Which one was easier? You see, Jesus' love for these men and their paralyzed friend was so great that he went far and above and beyond their simple request all the way to the cross. Jesus knew the cost of grace. Jesus knew the price of forgiveness. His body, his blood, his life, his death. But he was willing to give it anyway, wasn't he? Love burst his heart. And the wonderful news for us today is that nothing has changed. What happened way back then, some 2,000 years ago, in a distant land called Palestine, still happens today. Jesus is still the friend of all. Jesus still heals our deepest wounds, the wounds that we cause because of our sin. He looks us in the eyes and lets his love burst. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, he says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the love that Jesus has for you So fill your hearts with a love for him and for those whom he has come to save. Jesus really is the friend of all. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.